Welcome to the Billy Manning Show. I'm Billy, and I have decided to give you guys a channel update. I will be doing a weekly podcast release every single Tuesday. We will be releasing a new episode. That's right. Every Tuesday, you can hear us right here on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Look for the Billy Manning Show. Various topics will be discussed, and on some episodes, I will have guests. That's right, I will have guests locally and from other people that I've been friends with for years. You never know what topic we're going to bring up, but a lot of it will be pop culture, entertainment, and just fun stories. Some may be historical in nature. We will have a lot of fun, I promise you that, a lot of laughs, and just fun stories will be shared. So I thank you for coming back for a brand new episode. And on this week, I will be diving into the Scream franchise. That's right. Recently, I got to go to Scream 6 with some friends of mine. I will discuss that film and others. So, start out with the first Scream. Of course, Scream, the one that started it all. The fun thing about the film was throughout the film, first, we had the opening where they kill off Drew Barrymore's character, which was shocking. You bring in a big-name actress and kill her off within the first few minutes. That was awesome the way they did it. They had the phone call. They had the death of the boyfriend, the death of her. And, of course, her parents, the parents get home, and she's trying to yell, but her throat has been basically crushed. She's lost her voice, and she cannot yell out to her parents. And they think they hear something, but they're not quite sure. And then they discover the body later. What an opening Scream 1 is. That was beautifully done, masterfully done by Wes Craven, who directed those films. And I just remember watching that and going, oh my God, that was such a crazy opening. So Scream 1 was really good. We find out that we have two killers, and it was obvious who they were, but it was still fun to guess, and it was still fun. And then Randy was a cool character who, during the Scream film, he explained how to survive a horror film. But characters still did not follow those rules and still fell for things they shouldn't have. That's what made it so much fun. And then they tell you the rules to break the rules. So they go around your expectations, which was really fun. So I think the first Scream was really cool in that sense. And Scream 2 follows up, same thing, really cool opening, although this time they're in a theater, and we had Jade Smith, her and her boyfriend get killed off in the opening, and we find out that it's also two killers, while you have a guy that is kind of like the red herring, which was Cotton Weary. He was kind of the red herring. Once again, Cindy, Gail, Dewey all survive. This was really fun. I liked the ending and the motives. It was really cool. We get into Scream 3. Now, Scream 3 was weird because they were filming a movie within the movie. And they always have done that with the Stab films. They're always recording and creating or watching Stab films within the Scream franchise, which allows them to just be ridiculous and silly with it. So that's always been fun. Scream 3 of the 6 is probably my least favorite, but yet it is still watchable. Every film in the Scream franchise, there isn't really a bad Scream movie. Other horror franchises, you know, they've had some weaker films. Scream 3 is still rewatchable, still entertaining, still a lot of surprises and scares. Scream 3, like I said, they're filming the movies, and this is the only Scream where there's only one killer, and that killer is the director. And you find out that he is also the brother to Sydney, that there was a secret brother that she didn't know about. This was really fun. Some of the kills are brutal here and very entertaining. And like I said, it was just so cool, the idea of a movie within a movie. And that was really fun. But it doesn't get ridiculous as Scream 4. Although I like Scream 4 more than 3. They start the film where you're watching characters, you think this is the start of the film, but it's actually within a movie that the characters in the movie are watching. So someone gets killed, and then they have it happen again where it's a movie within the movie. being watched and they kill off another character. Well, then finally we get to the real one where they kill off two characters. This was a really effective opening because they got you, because you expected it to go a certain way and then it went a different direction. This was really fun. Scream 4 was really good, very brutal with what the killer did to their victims. Very good motives, some twists and turns that I didn't see coming. This was the one film, or one of two, where I didn't call who any of the killers were. So Scream 3 I didn't get. Scream 4 I didn't get. Scream 5 I got one of the killers. I did not get any of the killers in Scream 6. So Scream 4 was really fun and just over the top, but in a very fun way. They had different things going on. There was like a theater group and they're trying to get Gail and Sydney to attend because they're kind of local celebrities within Woodsboro. And so these films were really well done. Scream 4 just is a lot of bloody fun. The cops explain the rules about how cops die in films and then fall for some of the same things they shouldn't have, and maybe they should have done different things. So that was really cool. Then we get to Scream 5. Scream 5, you have Sydney, Dewey, and Gail returning, and you bring in Jenna Ortega as Tara, and then you have our older sister, Sam. We bring in Chuck. We bring in Mindy, the core four, you know, there. So we have a lot of new characters going on. And this was really cool because I only figured out one of the two killers, and it was kind of late when I figured out who it was, but the other killer I did not, and it was almost too easy. That's why I didn't pick that person, because Dewey tells them the rules, always look at the love interest, but then that almost seems obvious, so we don't look at the love interest because they seem so supportive and caring of one of the main characters to where you can't believe it's them. And of course, we do lose one of the returning characters. I won't say who if you haven't seen Scream 5 yet, but we do lose one of the returning characters from the originals. It was very sad. And like somebody else said, I don't mind the way they died, or that they died. I don't like the way they died. They seem too smart for the way they actually went out. So Scream 5 was really good. We kill off one big character. We reveal the killers, and we think we're going to lose more main characters, but the main characters are able to take out the killers, and it was just really fun. And there was a really cool thing where the police officer gets a call saying her son is going to die. She gets back to the house and she's yelling for the son. Turns out she was actually being baited so that way she could be killed instead of the son. And then, of course, the son dies. So that was really different from what I expected. They also upgraded the technology where they had like arming systems, security systems, where it would say like house armed, house disarmed, and somebody was cloning their phones. So that was a new and cool concept for this film, where you update the technology that wasn't available back then for the early Scream films, and you bring it in and you make it fun and believable still. The cloning the phone thing I had never heard of before, so that was really different, but really unique and great the way they carry that out within the film. So we have cloning phones. We have the main character does not have her inhaler on her when she leaves the hospital. So they decide to go to their friend Amber's house to get that inhaler because she's pretty sure Tara left the inhaler at Amber's house. So they drive back there. In the meantime, Sydney puts a tracker on the car saying that is something Gail Weathers would do. And Gail takes that as a compliment. And so we end up back at the original house that started it all from Scream 1 within Scream 5 for the final act. And this was really cool. And it talks about the horror films kind of motivating them. And they had met, the two killers met on like a subreddit. And that is how they got inspired to make the killings happen, to start the killings. And it's always interesting to try to figure out who killed who did what, because it doesn't always paint it out for you until later. So whenever they reveal the killers, you kind of figure out who did what later. And there are actually people who spend time making YouTube videos on this. And it's quite interesting. I watched one today about Scream 4. And what it did, it broke down based on the timing and the way things played out, who they think killed who based on what information that's given from the film. And there are a few times where you're like, okay, that's kind of a stretch. Do they really have that kind of time to do all of that? But that's the only way it can make logical sense based on how the events occurred within the film. So we get through the first five Scream films. Scream 5 was cool because you're bringing back original cast with the new cast, and you're having fun with it and going all out. We are going to take a quick break, and I will talk to you about Scream 6, my thoughts on it, and what I think overall about the Scream series and what makes it fun. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right. I went with three of my friends, and we went and saw Scream 6. What happened was two of them came over, and I had finished Scream 3 the night before that. They had watched 1, 2, and 3 to get caught up, and then I had 4 and 5 digitally. So we watched Scream 4 and Scream 5 earlier in the day, and then we decided to get tickets and go see Scream 6 that night at the Grand Theater in Hillsboro, Illinois. Let me tell you about the Grand real quick before we get into Scream 6. The Grand Theater has live shows. So we're talking comedians. We are talking musicians. And, of course, improv, which we have part of. We have an improv group here in town that is ran by Susan Collins, and we will get into more into that in another episode, but let's just say that this group is a lot of fun. I'm proud to be a part of it, and it really brings local entertainment right here to Hillsboro, Illinois. If you go to bestmoviedeal.com, you're going to click on the Grand Live, and you are going to be able to get tickets to both movies and live performances. And let me tell you, it is worth every penny. This theater has comfortable seats. They have really good drinks. You can pick any drink you want. I mean, we're talking good sodas, the fancy bottled water. Popcorn is amazing. I always get it with light butter, but their popcorn is absolutely wonderful. And best part is, it's only $10. And that's for the movies. You get a drink and popcorn with your ticket for $10. For the live shows, it's $10 online, $15 at the door, but I highly recommend buying your Grand Live tickets online because they typically do sell out, so try to get those early. But that is the Grand Theater right here in Hillsboro, Illinois, and it is right next to the Orpheum in downtown Hillsboro. Such a wonderful time, and I am proud to be a part of it. All right, Scream 6. So, they're in New York. Sydney Prescott is not in this film. She decided to take her husband and kids and go to a safe place. So she gets a break here, which allows us to get more time with the new main characters. Gail is returning. We have Tara, Samantha, Mindy, Chuck, and some other friends and girlfriends and the new neighbor all together. And this movie starts out with a killer who tracks down and kills this woman that he agreed to meet on a date. He says he can't find her, so she walks out of the restaurant, bad idea, at night, walks down an alleyway, and is proceeded to be stabbed to death. They reveal the killer, which is unknown, and it's weird for Scream. So we reveal the killer early. Come to find out, twist. He's not really the killer. He is just a copycat, and the real Ghostface will get him and his friend. And his friend is found already dead, and then he is killed, and we get into the real killer. Now, I don't want to give everything away here, but I would like to say this was a very clever opening. You have your expectations here. Here, we revealed a killer early just to show you this isn't really the killer. That was fun. It was different. I liked it. I liked this opening. There were a few scenes in here where my friend was covering their eyes and they asked, is it okay to look now? And I would say yes or no. And there were a couple of scenes where I admittedly looked away or looked down for a second, because they really got into the stabbing quite a bit. And that was a little bit gruesome. And I will remind you, I'm very selective on horror. I like more who did it and why, more mystery or like supernatural than straight up gore fest. You know, I won't watch certain films that are overly gory. These are more who did it and why. A lot of the killings are shown off screen, and there were some devastating kills here. There were different people getting attacked in different ways. It was pretty interesting. And let me say, the sisters are tough sisters. They are badass women, and they can fend for themselves. I like that. And I also like the fact that the older sister, we find out who she's connected to in Scream 5. That was a nice twist, and we build that into Scream 6. The disturbing thing about Scream 6 is when you watch this, the victims have masks of previous Ghostface killers from previous films. So that was really a nice touch. And the person who I suspected to be the killer, I was completely wrong. They were the red herring character, where it looked like they were the killer, and they built it up to make this person look like the killer, but they were not the killer. So that was really cool. Then when they reveal the killers, you're like, holy crap. So these poor sisters, Tara and Samantha, cannot get away from this no matter where they go. It keeps following them. There's also a horrifying subway scene where there are different people dressed. It almost looks like a Comic-Con or something. They're dressed as various horror icons. And you had people such as Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger and other killers from other films dressed up. And this was really scary, because you would see people in costumes, multiple ghost face, the lights would go out, the lights would come back on, and the ghost face would be closer, or they would be gone. And the next thing you know, someone's getting attacked by one of the ghost face. So that was really a nice touch there. They were really meticulous and set up each scene really well. Gail, of course, is attacked, and her boyfriend. And that was a really cool scene, a fun scene, where the killer is smarter than most of the previous killers, and they really get into that some. We do get to see a major character get attacked pretty bad, and I won't reveal their fate, but it gets pretty hectic and scary. And then, meanwhile, this detective, he is trying to help them figure out stuff, and there's a police officer. She's a character from Scream 4, has returned for Scream 6, and that also plays a major role in this film. And the ending of this film is really wild. The final fight, where the killers are finally revealed and the sisters fight the killers, and then we see who survives, who doesn't survive. So it does set up the next film. If they do a Scream 7, I would like to see Sydney come back. She was not in this film, but I think it was nice for her to have a break to focus on other characters. But I would like to see Sydney and the other main characters team up and maybe do one final film here. I don't know if it will be the final film, but it definitely could be with the way the story's going. I think doing a trilogy with the sisters is a really good idea. We only had 14 months between releases. So the Scream films have released. The original came out in 1996. Scream 2, 1997. 2000 for Scream 3, so 3 years there. Then it wasn't 11 years, 2011, 11-year gap till Scream 4 came out. 2022, so another 11 years. We had Scream 5, and then Scream 6 comes out just a year later in 2023. Worth a watch. Double thumbs up for this film. It's fun. It's well-paced. A lot of cool stuff happens throughout the movie, and I will recommend watch this with a friend. Have fun with it. Don't watch it alone. Part of the fun is being scared together. And I think this was really well made. So please check out Scream 6. And I will give my final thoughts after one final break here. Final thoughts here. The Scream franchise is definitely worth watching. There are only 6 films. Approximately, I think the longest is like 2 hours and 4 minutes or something, and the shortest is like 1 hour 50 something. So every film is 2 hours or less, maybe a few minutes more, but it's right around the 2-hour mark. So you're looking at roughly 10 hours to watch, or 12 hours, sorry, to watch all six films. So you could do that in a weekend, you know, watch first three Saturday, the last three Sunday. I do plan on buying a copy of six when it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray. Final thoughts, very good film, entertaining from start to finish. It was action-packed. There were some scenes that I didn't tell you about that you'll just have to see in the film. But there were things from start to finish happening. The kill scenes are more brutal, but they're really thought out, just like in previous films. Nothing overstayed its welcome. It feels like the plot points were done and then they kind of moved on and everything tied back neatly in a bow to reveal the killers and for the ending, and it all ended up making sense. It's just, like I said, it's not the kills that are great, obviously, all the time. It's more about who's doing it and why. And just when you think you know the suspect, that suspect is attacked or killed. That's what makes Scream fun. And then they also have the ongoing rules. It used to be Randy, now it's Mindy, who are giving the rules of how to survive a horror film. But then those people still don't listen to those rules, fall for those rules, or the rules that are supposed to be followed aren't followed. And it just is fun because they break those rules. They break the stereotypes and don't always stick with them. So, and Ghostface is just terrifying. If you think about the eyes are like out of proportion, they're really large, and the mask is meant to disturb you. And the idea of someone calling their victims and knowing where they're at and knowing the best entry and exit points, that tells me they're very meticulous. And that adds a layer of disturbance to the films. And I just feel like that's what makes it really interesting. And the fun part comes in with the humor. There's still some very good humor. Who can never forget the line from Scream 1? I'm feeling a little woozy here. That is just hilarious. And they just have fun with it. And so it's a blend of comedy, horror, drama. I mean, they take a lot of the genres and blend them together to make this epic horror film. Wes Craven, Scream 5 is dedicated to him. And this new team has done a really good job with Scream 6. I think the directors of Scream 6 said if there is another one, which they've broken franchise records for openings, if there is another one, they want more time because they had to do it in 14 months. So having more time would allow them to not feel as rushed. It was still a very good film, but I see what they mean by wanting more time. So check them out. It's in theaters now. It's been playing at the Grand here in Hillsboro and other theaters, but it does star, like I said, you have Gail back, you have Jenna Ortega back as Tara, you have Samantha back, you have the core four. I mean, a lot of the previous cast are back. It's in New York, which means new possibilities because we're no longer in a small town. Cities can be terrifying with how big they are, and the cops. And also, let me a few things I'm going to talk about here. Because in Scream 5, they're at a hospital. I know it's a private floor, but you do not see. You see one cop, but not one sick, not one nurse, not one doctor, no CNAs, like no staff, no other patients here. So I just feel like someone would have called 911 and got the cops there quicker. Also, why do hardly any of the people in this town own a dog or two? Because you would think after all the kills that they have in these films, people would start having dogs that are louder that alert them to the killer to buy some time. So I don't understand that either. To me, if you're going to be smart, you're going to get a security system with cameras. You're going to have weapons to defend yourself, and you're going to get some dogs to bark whenever someone comes to your door. That would definitely help the characters. Those are a few small nitpicky things I have, but the series is downright fun. Well, that's all I have for this week. Tune in next week to the Billy Manning Show. And like I said, you never know what will be discussed. Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day.